everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're just really glad you joined us.
Glad to be sharing a microphone with you again, once again this weekend, Dr. Linda. And before we get going into the show too far, our fill-in producer, Katie, this will be her last program with us. She's doing some production work in, what do they call it, TV?
I know. What's wrong with that?
Something about TV.
She's actually got a great position. She's working on the new Huckabee show.
Ooh, okay.
So for people who don't know, the governor, Mike Huckabee, is going to be doing a brand new show, and Katie's going to be working on that show. So congratulations to her. We appreciate it, the few times that she's filled in and helped us, like she's doing today.
TV people.
I know.
Well, I can't remember how we got to talking about this the other day, but somehow we got onto the topic of fears. And I told you that I had a fear of deep water.
You did.
Deep water, especially when you can't see the bottom. And
you and take a deep breath right now.
You and I and the producer were trying to think of what the fear was called. And I thought it was called hydrophobia.
And you had a reason for that. You were telling me this kind of weird story about rabies.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I saw this old movie where the dog got rabies, and this took place in the South, and the character said, he's got hydrophobia.
What did that have to do with the rabies
Well, rabid animals apparently are afraid of water.
Oh.
Something like that.
So they wouldn't go to the water or something. I don't know. It sounds very complicated. Mm-hmm. But our producer said that was called aquaphobia.
Right, yes.
I don't know. So you were talking about a fear of deep water. So it's so interesting. He looked it up in his phone, and we really couldn't believe the massive list of phobias we found. There were hundreds, but there had to at least be 100 that we saw.
At least. And it's amazing that they apparently people are afraid of everything because they've come up with every name imaginable for you can be afraid of anything under the sun.
Well, I was at work and I mentioned that we were doing a show on this and somebody said, I have an aunt who's afraid of the number 13. I was like, wow, really? And there were a whole bunch. And then everybody around me, we should have gotten sound bites on that.
Right.
Because all these people had these very strange fears. So I guess a lot of people actually do struggle with this. And I know that actually as a therapist. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the numbers might surprise you, but about 19 million people. That's a lot of people, Chris.
That's a lot,
19 million are walking around with fears that we call phobias. And phobias are one of the most common mental health disorders in the United States. Hmm. And women tend to have them a little bit more than men.
Have you treated folks with phobias before?
I actually have. Actually, quite a few people. And based on that 19 million, I've had a few of those 19 million. So I want to say at the beginning of this show that phobias are highly treatable. Hmm. So as we talk about this, I want you to keep in mind that they are really not that difficult to treat if you get with a therapist who knows how to do it, and you do not have to live with these fears for a long time. So we'll talk a little bit about the treatment a little bit later in the show.
Well, let's start with a definition of what a phobia actually is, because it can become quite distressing when you have a specific fear.
It can. So a phobia is really just an excessive or an irrational fear reaction. So the difference is, let's say you're in the water and there's a shark.
Right.
Now the body is wired to be afraid of that. You have that fight or flight response that people have.
Right.
So that's real because there's a shark in there. A phobia is if you go into the water, there is no shark and you're terrified that maybe there might be a shark or you had some bad experience a long time ago. And now even with the shark gone, you're still being afraid. So if you have a phobia, what happens is you experience this really deep sense of dread, a lot of times panic, whenever you encounter the source of whatever that fear was based on.
It's like when I go into a lake, and there's some lakes where I grew up, and the deepest part of the lake is 400 feet deep.
Is that deep?
That's deep.
Is that like a fathom? I don't know. I don't know all those nautical terms yet. So
but
it's deep.
It's extremely deep because of the mountainous terrain and all that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It creates these deep lakes. That's okay. 400 feet deep, you know, that's like being in the ocean. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're in an area that's like 20 feet deep and you can sort of see the bottom.
Yeah. That bothers you?
That's what makes me
crazy. So what do you get
like?
You get anxious when you see that, or do you get like almost claustrophobic
Almost, what's the word for when you just simply can't move?
Yeah, that's paralyzing fear.
Yeah.
That's anxiety. Yeah.
Right.
So I know for years I had, and I looked up the name of it, it's called dentophobia. Dentophobia.
Right.
This is the fear of dentists. Or dental procedures. I'm telling you.
Now, it was a fear of the dentist himself.
Kate, the producer, is shaking her head going, yes. I was really afraid. Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I had to go in. I had a cavity. And the dentist, I don't know what he did, but he hit something in my face.
Right, yeah.
And half of my face froze. Mm. And it felt so out of control. And so ever since then, I got really afraid. In fact, when I first got married, I would interview dentists and I would say, okay, do you have a fish tank that I can look at?
Right.
Do you have earphones with music? Mm-hmm. Can you hold my hand? Can you, can you use the gas? You know, I have mm-hmm. to have, now I can do it. I've overcome my fear. See, this is the good news. You can overcome those, but that terrified me for years and years.
We have a dentist in the choir at church. Are you afraid of him?
No. I don't know who it is. Now you're going to tell me who it is?
I won't tell you who it is.
I don't know who that is.
Dr. Ken, one of the basses.
He's a dentist?
He's my dentist, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, you know, there's so many movies, actually, that play on our fears, and you see fears of clowns in movies.
I know. There was a movie called It. I never saw it.
I'm not recommending it. Fear of tight spaces. There was a movie called Descent, and there was also a movie called Buried Alive.
I know. See, that would freak me out if I saw that movie. I didn't see it.
And then, of course, the fear of spiders and insects, The Fly.
That was a classic. It's an old movie. Did you ever see it?
No.
It's a classic.
Then Arachnophobia. We've all seen that movie.
Yeah. So it's funny. Now, Katie's looking at us because just before we came to the show, seriously, mm-hmm. she did not know what we were talking about today.
Right.
And I heard her kind of scream. Katie, what was going on up there when I heard you yelling and kind of screaming?
Well, I was just watching TV, hanging out in my room, and all of a sudden I hear my mom go, Katie? I'm like, yeah, like I paused my TV show. And she's like, you good up there? I said, yeah, like, why are you asking? She said, I feel like you were just like throwing up or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was just watching a TV show with spiders, but they weren't normal spiders. They somehow got under the skin and like went into the body, and I guess my body was reacting without me knowing it, because
terrified of spiders.
Oh, I hate them.
And bugs.
Because when I was younger, I just remember the feeling of killing a bug, and I remember it crunching in my hands. And ever since then, like, my dad grew up in the mission field, doesn't even bother him.
Right.
My brother, you know, he's scared too.
He's a little bit afraid too.
Because I would always be like, Matt, get the spider. And he'd be like, no, you do. You know, try to make me do it.
Brother helping his sister. Yes.
He was scared. I know he was.
So here's the thing. That fear that she's talking about, mm-hmm. the fear of spiders, and I did not know this, is the most common fear for both men and women.
Wow.
They're seen, I guess because they're seen as creepy and crawly, and they can even kill us, I guess, with a bite. You know, you think about the Black Widow.
Black Widow, right.
Yeah. So this usually begins in childhood, like Katie was talking about, and it tends to stay with us as adults if we don't deal with it.
Well, related to arachnophobia is ophidiophobia.
Oh, you said that very well.
It's the fear of snakes, and it's almost as common as the fear of spiders.
Okay.
Do you remember the movie Anaconda?
I would not see it. Mm. I think there's two of them. I just wouldn't see. I do not like snakes. So how about the movie The Birds? That's, again, another old Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
And they're like attacking people. So that one probably will create a phobia if you watch it.
Jodie Foster was in a movie called The Panic Room, and it dealt with claustrophobia, intense fear of small and enclosed spaces.
Yeah, I can kind of get into that one a little bit. So I think there's a lot of movies we could talk about, and we really want to kind of make the point here before we go to a break that phobias are really tied to something that happens, something very specific when you have a phobia. So typical symptoms can be something like nausea or trembling, rapid heartbeat, feelings of unreality, and being preoccupied with the fear object. So phobias can have a really serious impact on a person's life. You have to avoid the object of the fear, and that's not always possible to do, Chris. Mm. So this can be quite distressing for people and interfere with daily life and relationships.
We found websites that list all the fears a person can have, and it looks like there is a fear for, like we said, just about anything. But let's talk about a few more of the most common fears people have after we go to a short break. Don't be afraid. We'll be right back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and I want to remind you to follow Dr. Linda on social media, Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Instagram at Dr. Linda Mental. And if you can't remember any of that, just go to her website, drlindamental.com. Well, today we're talking about phobias or fears that the National Institute of Mental Health says affects 8% of the population. And that's a lot of people walking around feeling afraid. And we mentioned a few of the most common phobias at the top of the show, but there are many more.
There are. And one of the most common ones that we were going to talk about in the first segment was agoraphobia.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's one people will recognize, and that's that fear of going out. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are kind of stuck in their house. Maybe you're listening to this and saying, hey, I have that fear. A lot of times that one is paired with panic. So that's one of those fears that, again, we're going to get into how do you treat this? What do you do? How do we think about this spiritually? Because, again, there's really good treatment for this. There's a fear called trypanophobia. Okay, these are hard to say.
They are, yeah.
So this is a fear of needles. Again, this is one I had. I would faint when I would get a shot.
My dad is a man's man.
Yeah.
But go to the doctor, it causes him to faint.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? And one time I remember I got the shot. I didn't faint. I was with my husband. I went, oh, good. Let's just walk out of here. On the way out, boom.
Really?
Went down.
Even after it was already over, you still fainted from that.
Yeah, but again, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm over it, and I know how to treat this. So we're going to help you in a few minutes, too.
What about a fear that's sometimes related is called hemophobia? It's the intense fear of blood. And a person with hemophobia may faint when they come in contact even with their own blood or someone else's, of course.
Right. So they're probably not going to be doctors because of that fear unless they can get over that. But that is a really intense fear of blood. It's like you said, either by sight or by touching it. And it gets so bad for some people, Chris, that they actually lose consciousness and pass out. And even become weak. So this is the strength of that can do that to you, that kind of fear.
It's interesting with all three of our kids. You know, I was there when they were born. And sure enough, when the process really starts, the doctor always said to me all three times, Dad, how are you?
Yeah. And like, some of them faint.
Yeah.
Some of them faint right there in the birthing room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is an irrational fear, but it sometimes is a reminder of something traumatic that somebody had in an earlier time. So maybe somebody saw somebody die or you saw a terrible accident on the highway, and that can be triggered if the person has been involved in one of those really traumatic things that they've witnessed.
Right.
So again, you go back to the root of the fear. A lot of times there was an incident that created fear at the moment, and then that fear gets what we call conditioned and it stays with you.
You know, there are reports that our president has a fear of germs and contamination.
Now, I've never heard this term. They called it misophobia. I thought it was germophobia. That's always the term I heard.
That's the joke. Hey, what are you, a germaphobe?
Yeah. And so this can affect individuals in a whole bunch of different ways. What happens is it starts as sort of this generalized fear of contamination, and then it leads to a lot of anxiety. And it's really hard because think about it. The times you have to go outside and you have to encounter germs, you really can't live your life and be free of that.
Right. You work with medical students, and often they struggle with a fear called nosophobia.
Yes. And this is really real for medical students because what happens is as they're looking up all these diseases that they're studying, they begin to feel like they have them.
Really?
I actually give a lecture at the beginning of the year for the new medical students saying, you're going to look up all these things you're going to start learning about, and you're going to start going, wait a minute, do I have that symptom? And I have them come into my office all the time saying, I think I have irritable bowel syndrome or some other disease that we've been studying at the time.
Right.
And it's kind of related to hypochondriacs, people have heard that word.
Right.
Like, oh, he's such a hypochondriac, always thinking he has an illness.
Well, I have young kids, and one out of the three suffers from astrophobia. It's the intense fear of thunder and lightning.
Do you think dogs can have that?
Yes.
I think our dog has that. Oh, a producer's pointing to herself again.
Right.
Yeah, I think that is a very common one. And in fact, my dog just hides and starts to shake. Does your daughter do that?
She does. She just cries.
And so with more exposure, what happens, kids get really afraid of that. We used to hear all these things that people would say to their kids, like, God is bowling in heaven, you know, try to give it sort of some normalizing that it's okay. Right. Things aren't going to, they're going to turn out okay. And after a while, kids usually grow out of that one.
You know, cynophobia is the fear of dogs. And there are lots of people that are afraid of dogs.
And that usually starts again at a young age, usually with the result of some kind of negative experience right. with a dog. And that can really stay with you to childhood. It's funny, I have the comfort dog that I bring to the medical school. Mm. I've treated 3 students that have that phobia. And by the end of a few months, they're petting her and real comfortable with her.
You know, we could go on and on with these because, like we've said, there are lists miles long. The fear of flying, the fear of dark, fear of losing control, fear of getting older, fear of public speaking, just to name a few. So how do we help people with phobias?
Yeah, we need to get to that. So we know that there is a mixture with people of genetic factors and then environmental factors. So always when we're talking about mental health struggles, there's always this mixture of some people may be more predisposed to anxiety, to maybe a fear reaction based on their genetics, based on the way their body is wired. And other people, a lot of times though, it has to do with the environment that can cause those phobias. So if a child has a close relative with an anxiety problem or a disorder, they're at a little bit more risk than somebody else. So any kind of distressing event, such as maybe you had a moment where you felt like you were drowning for a few seconds in a pool or something, that can bring on a phobia. Exposure to some kind of confined place or needing, going up to some extreme height and getting a little scared of that or being bit by an insect. Those are the kinds of things that can start the phobias we've been talking about. So people with ongoing medical conditions or health concerns a lot of times will have a phobia, Chris, because of all the invasive things that are happening to them. So I did not know this until I did the research for the show, with people developing phobias after a traumatic brain injury. And I think about all the vets out there who have had this traumatic brain injury, and substance abuse and depression are also connected to phobias.
How do you explain, let's say, a child who's afraid of water, but they've never been around a traumatic water type experience? Is that, would that be inherited possibly?
Well, you might just have a little bit more of a genetic predisposition to the fear, but usually there's something that's triggering that in the life. So here's the thing. The first thing you want to do when you're afraid of something is run away from it. But when we're treating a phobia or one of these types of very specific fears, what you want to do is actually stay in the situation, not run from it.
Wow. If I'm afraid of elevators, which I'm not, but as an example.
Okay, just use that one.
Right. I should ride the elevator.
You should stay and not try to avoid it. So most people, what they would do is say, I'm not going to get on the elevator. I'm just going to take stairs all the time.
Right.
But really, the treatment involves facing that fear. And I like that idea because it's biblical. I'm thinking of David when he was with, you know, Goliath. He faced the fear.
Right.
And he went into the fear. So the idea here is face your giant, that fear, with God's help, and you can begin to overcome it if you're willing to tolerate this really anxious feeling you're going to have. When you face a fear, it feels horrible. A lot of times it feels like you're going to die. Mm-hmm. But don't run from it. Tell yourself, I can do this. I can take it. And eventually, if you stay in it and you expose yourself to it over and over and you say, hey, wait, nothing bad happened. I really am okay. The more you can do that, the less power it's going to have over you until finally you've overcome it.
Can you give us an example?
Well, let's say you have that fear of elevators.
Okay.
So I might tell you to walk in the elevator over and over until you could get into the elevator without complete panic. Then once you're kind of calm getting in the elevator, I would say, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to push the button. You're going to go down. You're going to be okay. Now, you probably feel terrified when I hit that button and you go down the elevator shaft. But you get to the bottom and you go, I did it. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. I didn't die. I'm okay. And we would practice that over and over until that fear is gone.
Wow. Well, we've learned in this segment that phobias are, in fact, treatable. And when we come back, let's talk about what the Bible has to say about fear and how we can use the Word of God to help us as well. We'll be back on the Dr. Linda Minton Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I love my mother, but available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. The news these days is full of so many sad, depressing, or downright frightening things that cause us to go through our days with frowns on our faces and a cloud over our hearts. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I've got a suggestion for you to help ward off the heaviness that you might be feeling. The Bible is clear. Laughter does good like a medicine. One clear antidote for heaviness is to increase the laughter in your life. While my friend was battling cancer, she made it a regular habit to watch all the wonderful old comedy movies she could find. Laughing with her husband allowed them both to enjoy a rush of endorphins and precious moments together. Now, I'm not telling you that laughter alone will solve everything, but it will clear out the gloom. Reading God's word and living in His promise is our best armor. But having a good laugh every day will help keep your focus off those things you can't control. It'll cut down on your wrinkles and increase your trust in the God who rules your world and the world around you.
Raising healthy kids in an unhealthy world. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and I want to remind you to follow Dr. Linda on her website, drlindamental.com. There you can see her blog, social media, and the books she has written. And today we've been talking about common phobias or irrational fears that can develop. And Dr. Linda, what about medications? Do they help?
So sometimes people are prescribed an antidepressant or what we call an anti-anxiety medication like a benzodiazepine. Mm-hmm. They can help you calm that emotion right at the moment and the physical reaction that is so paralyzing. So sometimes with panic, for instance, we might give somebody one of those medications. But I really recommend that you try this exposure treatment we were talking about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have side effects. It doesn't have those kind of medications. Now, you have to be really careful. If you have heart problems or something, you need to get checked out by your doctor first before you do something that's scary, because we don't want you to go into cardiac arrest, you know, from being so frightened. But most of the time, these exposure techniques work. Let me tell you what those are. So it's a category of treatments called cognitive behavioral treatments. Mm-hmm. And exposure is the one that really, really works with phobias. So when I was talking about earlier where you go into the fearful situation and you force yourself, I actually teach patients to say when they're in the middle of it, I can take the hit. So they're really fearful, and I'll say, just tell yourself, I can do this. And a lot of times I'll use the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And know that God is with you in that moment. If you can sit in the middle of that fear and tolerate that fear, you really begin to take the power away from that fear.
Is it common for you to accompany a patient?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've done that a lot. I've done that with school phobias where mm-hmm. kids are afraid to go into school. We'll start in the parking lot until we can get them okay there. Then we'll move over to the building, and then we'll go into the building. We'll go to the most fearful class until finally they're spending the whole day and they're not having any problems. So you can have like a coach or a therapist that can really help you with that.
What happens if you have the same phobia?
Fortunately, no one asked me to go to the dentist when I was struggling with that.
Right. Well, we've reached the part of the program where we wrap everything up and see what God has to say about these things. And the Bible does have a lot to say when it comes to fear, doesn't it?
There are so many scriptures. I mean, I was thinking we could start listing them, but there are just so many scriptures on fear. And it's so interesting because God designed us. So He knows how He created us with that fight or flight mechanism.
Right.
So, you know, He prepared us for survival, that if there really is a scary thing there, we need to run away from it. But this irrational fear that we're talking about, where there really isn't a specific situation that we're running away from, this is where we really have to look and see what God says about this, because He says not to fear. He doesn't want us debilitated by fear, and He doesn't want us to live in fear. And so one of the verses I really like is John 14:27. And this is what it says, because He talks about Jesus as our peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." There's a radio host who always quotes that scripture. I hear that often. Don't let your hearts be troubled.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Right there, Chris, He's saying, you don't have to be afraid. I'm with you.
You know, do you think it's easy for us to forget that God is with us? Because I do. And so reading these scriptures and renewing our mind with them, would be important. For example, probably the most well-known verse about fear is 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
So it doesn't come from God. So isn't that interesting? Fear doesn't come from God. Mm-hmm. He hasn't given us that spirit of fear, is what that scripture is saying. He's giving us power, his power. He's giving us his love. And then because of that, we have a sound mind as we renew our mind. I do have to remind myself of that scripture because it says that God hasn't given this to us. So I don't want to react to the things that are not of God. Mm. You know, if it doesn't come from him. Now, what he does say, the only place that I see in scripture is that he does say that we are to fear the Lord.
Right.
But that's a different kind of fear. That's more of an awe of God, understanding his majesty and his greatness, not the kind of fear we're talking about today, this irrational fear. God's not the author of crippling fear. And that reminder that we have to constantly tell ourselves he's with us. So here's one from Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
And God gave this to people when there was a clear and present danger.
Yes, it's a reminder.
Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That verse says he is commanding us. He's commanding us not to be afraid.
And it's such a good point you're making, because some of these scriptures are when they are right in the face of fear.
Yeah.
So there actually is something specific to be afraid of. And even then he's saying, don't let fear grip you. So all the more when there's not a fear object, there's not something specific right in front of us that we are not to hang on to fear. So if you're thinking about this, you're thinking, I want to obey God. I want to understand this. I'm going to end with this one in Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. And then Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Seek the Lord and trust him to remove that fear. He wants you to seek him. He will deliver you. He will answer. Get the help of a Christian therapist who understands how to also help you with this, the types of techniques that we're talking about today. And you don't have to live in fear anymore. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and director, Katie Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation from all of us here at Faith Radio. We'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.